Hello and welcome to another episode of God's Not Done With Us Yet. It is season 2, episode 17, titled Babel. Well, I'm just happy. It is another Sunday. As you know, there's no Big Brother tonight. It'll be tomorrow. This week I am talking about the vow. I think this is episode number 8. It's not the new one that's tonight. I'll be covering that one next week, which will also be the season finale. I don't know if it's up on HBO yet. It might be because it's a little after 10, but usually it's not like up right at 10. But regardless, that will be the season finale, and then I'll talk about the past week of Big Brother. And yeah, let's just get into it. So, the vow. This episode was strange, like all of them. I'm actually ready for this show to be over because it is very strange. I guess it's a perfect ending then. If today's the season finale, I think sometime this week is supposed to be the sentencing of this man who did this. Or was the head as far as orchestrating it. Or the root of orchestrating this stuff. And this particular episode, it just really showed that Keith was on some other stuff. Like, they showed a lot of clips of him talking. Some weird stuff that made no sense. That's why I titled this episode Babble. Because there's a whole bunch of psycho babble. But it was just straight up babble. Like, I don't know. And it was so strange. Like, that's just pretty much a good quarter of this whole season of this show called The Vow. Like, you could tell when they were recording and having these conversations that they thought they were so deep and so wise, but it just makes no sense. They're really essentially talking about nothing. And this episode was like a whole episode of them talking about nothing. Like, he said some very strange things as far as he felt because of how he was treated as a little boy. First if he was treated as a little boy, he believed all boys was treated like he was, and it gave him justification to treat women the way they were treating. He was essentially victim blaming. He was saying that, I guess the one quote that I wrote, that he was saying, abuse is a made up human concept, and the screaming of abuse in itself. Like I said, that is an example of how everything that's coming out of that man's mouth made no sense. There's a whole bunch of babble stuff that made, he was just babbling some googly goop. And for some people, I know why people ate it, because it was like a slippery slope. It's like you got into the world, and I guess the stuff, craziest things they were saying made sense, because first they started in the ESB, and then you get into, they had this women's group and this man's group, and then they switched over to the women going to the men's group and the men's going to the women's group. And he would put on all this stuff about sex, about why men want to have sex with these people. I was like, ugh, it's very strange. Very strange. And essentially he was saying, because the society is made to protect women, it hurts the men. I don't know. Like I said, there's no way to make sense out of it, because it was very, 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 it was just his way of justifying why he's taking advantage of these women, in my opinion, or why he set up this whole system to take advantage of these women. So I think it's good that he is got exposed and he's going to jail. What I'm going to pray for is just continued healing for the people involved in this organization. Because, like, the people who was exposing him and helping him get arrested and things, they all kind of felt guilty for their involvement in organizations and helping making the organization stronger and things of that nature, and the people that recruited this, that, and the other. So I also want to pray for exposure for organizations like Nexus. I'm sure there's more organizations that exist that are similar to this one that is an, under a guise as a helpful organization, but really it is oppressive of certain people, or is set up to take advantage of some certain people. I think this next is one they were primarily interested in taking advantage of people's bodies, but you know, some other ones they could be wanting to take people's money, I guess. You know, you could argue that a component of this organization was to take people's money, but I think the money was more so he could live off. He wasn't trying to get rich off of it. I don't, he was just trying to get people's have his little harem. I should learn how to say harem because I've talked about this for 15 episodes. But yeah, it was I'm so happy this show, the last episode of this show will be tomorrow, because I'm like, I want to throw up almost. It's like gross. Just what's out there for people to get involved in. It's very disappointing and very sad, in my opinion. So yes, let's just move on to Big Brother, to greener pastures, hopefully. I was it was you know it was this season. This, even though it's this is not the most exciting episode of Big Brother, because you know people aren't really making big moves and aren't really acting crazy because you know they're experienced players, so they're not making all those you know mistakes other players would make. But it's been some, to me, some good game plan that they are really thinking through all the decisions of why they're doing this, that, and the other. So I'm entertained by that, all the plotting. Like, oh, maybe I should move this way because of this, or that way because of that. I thought that was interesting. I, of course, you know, for weeks I've been talking about how I want Christmas to go, but there's bigger fish to fry. You know, they got Memphis out, Memphis went home. Of course, I thought there's another opportunity that they could get to get out Cody. But Cody has really built up these relationships so well that folk are not taking the chance to take, like Nicole did not take, this is the second perfect opportunity to put Cody on the block, and Nicole did not take advantage of it. You know, weeks ago, Danny did not take advantage of it. I, you know, of course, that didn't serve Danny well, but I think Nicole, I think Cody sees Nicole as his true number two, so this might serve her well. And yes, I did. I would just think, oh, this would have been a perfect opportunity for her to put him up. But now I think no, because if she puts him up, then, you know, Memphis has never been on her side. Enzo's barely been on her side. Really, Christmas sure not on her side. So really, Cody is her only ally left in the house. So in the end, if she still got like a couple more weeks to play, I can understand why she didn't put Cody up, because at this point in the game, you still need your allies. So it makes sense why she didn't put Cody up. But, you know, Cody really put himself in a great position in this house. And, you know, I think, you know, Memphis was the better choice to get out over for Nicole's game, her winning, you know, being HOH. I think that was a much better option than Christmas, especially since she kind of pulled Christmas a little closer this week. So of course Nicole is playing a good game. I like I said before, she's playing peak white girl game, which what I mean by that, you know, this is with Nicole last time and this is her again. She was acting like she was a terrible competitor until the end. You know, Christmas messed up with the pumpkin game, so that worked out in Nicole's favor that she was the slow and steady win the race, and Christmas got a little excited at the end and messed up. And you know, Enzo messed up as well. And so, you know, the odds was in Nicole's favor and she pulled out that win, but she's good for that. She when she really needs a win, she pulled it out and she lost her cover for a little bit. She was like, yeah, baby. It showed like she's a really competitive person. But then she went back to her act. It was like, oh, sorry. I never won this whole season. I never won. I was like, girl, you never won because you didn't want to never win. I see through you, but you know, other folk don't. So all this, you know, that's what I say. She's playing a peak game for who she is. But you know, she also kind of scary too, because after she did win, after she won the veto too, she won the veto. See, that's what I say. She be pulling out those wins when it needs to be. She said, and she get a good time. And you know, earlier in this season, she was doing like these pitiful long times. So I was like, this girl, I see you. I clocked you. I see exactly what you're doing. But regardless, she won that veto thing. And then after she sat there, it didn't change it. She's sitting there hiding behind the counter. I say, girl, whatever. And she's like obsessed with these white boots. So I was like, okay, girl, I'm gonna let you be you. But yeah, that's so Nicole has been playing really, really good. So we will see if she's able to pull out, making it to that end. Because I think if she makes it to the end, I would not be mad if old girl win. You know, I may not like her personally. I may not want to be her friend personally, but I cannot deny that she did a very good job. And she should have had the biggest target on her back because she already won before. So like I said, she's doing good. Of course, you know, she could very much be gone this week, but I don't know. I don't know who's gonna, I can't even guess who would be gone this week. But anywho, in other news, Memphis's fatal error, I believe, and Big Brother was when he did a very good game, but when he made those two wise guys, he should have told Cody about it as well. If he had let Cody know about the two wise guys, he very well would have still been here today and Christmas would have been gone. So I think that was his fail. And he played too hard, you know, this past week as well with talking to Cody, because he was oh yes, he played too hard where he was trying to convince Nicole to put up Cody. That was dumb. He should have just let Christmas do that and let her hang herself and then left that alone and told Cody about the two wise guys saying like all those things was planned. See, because Enzo's going back and telling everything. And that's what I say, that's what Enzo was smart to talk about that stuff, number one. And then Nicole the same way. She tell everything. So Enzo's smart to talk. And poor Memphis was dumb to think that someone wouldn't talk. So that's why you gotta be careful about your moves. Don't play too hard possibly, because and Big Brother, loose lips don't act necessarily sink slick. So you're not like all messy with it. You gotta be smart with how you have the loose lips. So yeah, that was Enzo's fatal error in my estimation. Christmas is currently being carried. Like I thought she was carried last season too, so I don't know how good of a player she is, how good of a game player she is, because she's definitely being carried right now. As far as who I think is gonna win, I don't know. I don't know who's gonna win. I thought it was neat that Memphis did not really see him being out really coming till like the very, very end, it seems. I haven't really been on Twitter to know what's really going on like that, because Twitter's not even really talking about the game. They're more so talking about this is boring and whoever they want to be America's favorite house guest. They done pretty much checked out the show now. So I and I don't got no feeds and I haven't been reading the blogs, so I just have I'm like full casual with my exposition of this game. But hey, it's entertaining enough for me. I'm not like, you know, crazy about Big Brother. Like I like Big Brother, of course. I'm sitting here talking on podcast about it, but I'm not gonna be up all night watching podcasts. And then I just fell off with listening to the Rob has a podcast and the Jolene and stuff. So I really don't know what's going on. But I'll probably watch it like the season finale, those things. And hopefully they have those little yard interviews that they used to put on Facebook Live. I used to like to watch those things. And well, see, but I like lost those things while I was on my commute, and I don't have a commute really anymore, so I really don't know. I don't know if I will watch it. We will see. But anywho, there's one more thing that I want to talk about with Big Brother. Apparently, Enzo's guy's a foot fetish person. I thought that was funny. I never understood the foot fetish thing, you know, people, or I never really understood the disdain to our feet. They're just like appendages to me. And I had like a cousin who was like into feet, so it reminded me of that. Like, oh,
I guess this person likes Enzo Feats, like my cousin. And hopefully my cousin is not DMing random people. DMing E-list celebrities talking about, can I see your feet? I seriously doubt that's happening. That's really a strange thing. But yes, I would like my feet to be prayed for, because my feet are doing better. They were going through some things. And so I was using like a lot of Aquaphor and a lot of the Lord has miraculously healed my feet, because I'm looking at them. They don't look quite, they look fine. They were having like this peeling issue. They were looking kind of bad. And I was using like this fish special foot soap, and I was using like this Aquaphor, because they said Aquaphor help or whatever, the commercial. Not, my feet was getting worse. They were looking all peely. They were looking all the way tore up. And then one day I just didn't have time. Like, I bought some more soap, and it's like literally sitting in my cabinet. I have not got around to taking the soap from the cabinet to my shower. I'm that lazy. I haven't been using the Aquaphor, but my feet have miraculously, praise the Lord. My feet, I'm looking at them just right this moment, miraculously healed themselves. They're not peeling anymore. So I'm very thankful that my feet are cute looking, even without using a foot peel or whatever. Yay. Praise the Lord. But my toe is going through some things, because I went running. I got some new shoes and they were too small. And I ran, I bruised my big toe, and now I gotta wait for the toe, the bruised part. First, it was a little baby bruise, you could barely see it. And then it became a black bruise, and it got bigger. And now I got, this has happened before, this is why I know what's going to happen. Now I gotta wait for the bruise to grow out of my foot. And like my dad said, the toenail will come off, but it's okay. When the toenail comes off, it's gonna be a fresh new baby toe, beautiful toenail underneath it. So I just have to, right now, I just got an ugly black spot on my big toe, one of my big toes, and I just gotta wait for it to grow away. So that's, so my feet aren't in perfect condition. But fortunately, it's October, and I don't have to wear sandals. But it's not terrible looking. It looked fine to me, actually. I hopefully no one's looking at my toe. In theory, I could paint the toe to hide it, but I don't feel like it. And if someone looks at my toe and gets grossed out, then oh well, I'll just have to get over it and not look at it no more. But I know it's mostly, I've been wearing closed-toed shoes anyway, and then it's gonna grow and I'll be fine. But after that, then my feet will be back to their cute selves all the way. But yes, I'm very happy that my feet. Yes, it's about his feet caused me to think about my little feet, but not enough to treat them. But fortunately, they have healed themselves by the grace of the Lord. But yeah, that is basically my thoughts about Big Brother. So what am I going to pray about today? I'm going to pray again for Cassie, because it's not really much to pray about as far as when it's going to be what it's going to be. And my little list is the same, who I would be most entertained by when. I'd be most entertained by if Nicole wins. And then I'll be entertained if Cody wins. And I'll be entertained if Enzo wins. I'll be mad if Christmas wins. I seriously doubt Christmas is going to make it. It's going to win. She win, I can't even be mad. I was like, well, whatever, Christmas, you pulled that one out. I guess you had some type of the Lord's favor on you. But anywho, yeah, I'm going to pray for Casting for next year, because you know that Casting is what happened with Big Brother? They start advertising. They're gonna do casting for next year for Big Brother. So I'm gonna pray that good people apply, and you know, and I think I said I was gonna pray for casting last week, but I forgot. I was like, I keep on saying what I'm gonna pray for. I don't pray for everything. It'd be on the list. I just don't see it for some reason. And so I'm gonna pray that for Big Brother, and I'm gonna pray that the Amazing Race is gonna be good, because that's coming. After Big Brother, I believe, and I don't really want to watch the Amazing Race, but the person that I talk about Big Brother with, I do have a Big Brother buddy. I don't talk with her. I text sometimes during Amazing Race, and I do Big Brother. She wants to watch the Amazing Race, so I will probably be watching that one. I don't usually watch the Amazing Race. I think I watched part of one season. But I will watch it if she wants to watch it. So, and it text about it while I watch it. And then I want to pray. Oh, I said what I was going to pray about next and stuff. So that's what I'm going to pray about next. So let's get into the prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for another week, another weekend, Lord. I just thank you for being a good God, a good Father, for being so kind and gracious to us. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to pray. Yes, there's some people who may be afraid of this prayer, but I just pray that, you know, this big brother next season could be used for your glory, Lord. I just pray for the people who are in charge of casting for Big Brother. I pray for, I think her name is, I don't know the lady's first name. Her last name is Groner, I think. Lord, I just pray you just bless her life. I pray that she becomes closer to you each and every day. I pray, I thank you, Lord, that you care about the things that concern her. So I just pray you make things more smooth in her life. I just pray that your presence is evident in her life and that she knows that you are there and you love her and you care for her in Jesus' name. I think it's Allison Groner. You know who she is, Lord. I just pray that you continue to draw her to you, Lord, and you just open up her ears and eyes and give her witty ideas on how to make the show better in Jesus' name. Just give her a favor with the show in Jesus' name. And I just pray that you give her wisdom of who to hire to improve the show, and whoever needs to go away that's hindering the show's success, I pray they go away in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray you just bless the minds and the hearts of the casting people on Big Brother. I pray that they cast good people, they cast edifying people, and they just and that the people who are casted for this show, that it's not a bad or a traumatic experience for them. That is a prosperous experience. That's helpful. That's edifying. That they learn things about themselves. That they are not manipulative, but they just Lord, you know. What you know how they should play. That's a good and glorifying way to play. So I just pray that people are casted who will play the game in a upstanding type of way in Jesus' name. And that the people are not, you know, biased against different genders or races or orientations or whatever, that they see people how you see them for their motives and their hearts. You know, he says, man looks in the outward appearance, but you look at their hearts. So I just pray that you help the people who are casted to be able to see the hearts of men in Jesus' name. But, you know, all things are possible for you. Even things that are impossible, they're impossible for you. I just pray they have the mind of Christ, Lord. I pray if anything is not of you around in and around that show, be removed in Jesus' name. I pray, amen. Lord, I also pray about people who is involved in Netsys and all the little organizations associated with Netsys, Lord, those who are in it, who are perpetrators, who knowingly harm people. I just pray that they repent and they seek and they find forgiveness for their actions, Lord. I pray that those who unknowingly was a part of it and was perpetrating and hurting and it caused oppression, Lord, I pray that they're able to forgive themselves for what they did. I pray they're able to repent of, you know, for any things they may have done that had greater ramifications that they expected, Lord. And I pray that they can trust their instinct in the future. I know something like that can make you want to second guess and question almost everything and have issues with trusting. But Lord, despite the fact that they had a bad experience from trusting someone, I just pray in the future that you help their intuition, Lord, that they can be able to discern things that are altruistic from things that are not right. If something seems wrong or sketchy or whatever, I just pray that they have the wherewithal to be able to back away, Lord. I just pray you protect them from things that they may not be able to discern. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them from that thing. So, you know, things that may seem like, oh, that's rejection, or I really wanted to be a part of that and just didn't work out. I pray that they can recognize that as a blessing for you, as your protection to keep them from things that they don't need to be a part of. Lord, I just pray that people no longer be deceived, that we be lovers of truth, Lord, that the blindfolds be removed, the scales that fall off, Lord, that people can see things for what it really is, that people who are being deceived can see where that deception is, Lord, and they can wake up, Lord, in Jesus' name, so they can end up where you want them to be, in a place of knowledge and truth, Lord, and light, Lord. I just pray that people who are making up lies and making up all types of crazy winds of doctors and making up things that sound good but that are not true, I pray that people can see through that stuff, Lord God, and instead hunger and thirst for righteousness, so they can be filled, can find the true bread of life, the true fountain of life in Jesus' name, and no longer be okay with counterfeits in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that Lord, for continued exposure of organizations like Nexus. There are people in power, positions of influence, who are using their influence and power to oppress others, knowingly or unknowingly, Lord. I just pray that they be exposed, Lord God, that the darkness be exposed, that whatever's done in the dark, thank you, Lord, that will be brought out in the light, and that those people will be removed and out of those places of power, and that people with your heart and your mind and your motivation be placed in the power. I even just pray that for our government, Lord, all the way up from the executive branch to the judicial branch and the legislative branch. In each of those branches of our government and other governments all around the world, I just pray that anything that's nefarious or sinister be exposed in Jesus' name, and those despots be removed in Jesus' name and be replaced with people who can bring glory and honor to your name, Lord. I just even pray for our upcoming election in the United States of America. I just pray that people vote with a sound mind and according to your will and your way, and I pray that when the results happen, that it is peace in the land, that I just come against any uprisings, I come against any civil unrest, I come against any weapon that could be formed against us. I pray that it will not prosper, that this nation will not be torn down or divided among itself or weakened, Lord God. I just pray that, the plans of the enemy to destroy things, Lord, will not come to fruition, but you can heal this land, Lord, as we who are called by your name, humble ourselves and pray and ask you, Lord, for help, Lord, that you will look down on us, Lord, and you will heal our land. Just pray we repent for anything that we're doing wrong, sins of omission and commission, Lord. Like, illuminate the things that we're doing wrong. Help us to realize and see the errors in our way, and help us to be humble and to repent for those things, Lord God. Things that our country has done to take advantage of other people, things that our country has done to be mean to the unfortunate, to be unkind to the unfortunate, to treat the people who the other, that's identified as other, as less than human beings, Lord God. I pray that they can see the errors of their ways and stop treating people like in ways that they would not want to be treated. Instead, they treat people how they would like to be treated. They treat people with love in Jesus' name, especially the ones who call themselves Christians, Lord God, that they actually treat people how you say we should treat people in Jesus' name, not to offend people and not to be oppressive toward people in Jesus' name. I just thank you for your goodness and for your graces. And I thank you, Lord, just for placing me in a position to be able to pray for others, Lord. I just pray that just bless me in this week, but also bless, those who are listening this week, Lord. The things that are concerning them, the things that are bothering them. I just pray that they know they cast their cares on you because you care for them. And I pray that they just know that as they work with you, they do not get weary in what they're doing, because at just the right moment of reaping harvest, they do not give up. And I also pray that they always know and they always realize that their burden is light and their yoke is easy with you. Greater is you that's within them as them that's in the world. Also, that they have the mind of Christ, Lord, and they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. So I just thank and I praise you for your goodness. So I just pray for peace this week for everyone who may be coming up or have something coming up that they're a little concerned about. I just pray they have peace in that situation, Lord. And I just thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So yes, that is this week's show of God's Not Done With Us Yet. I'm very excited for next week. Will be the season finale of The Vow. Because I am done with that show, even though I have one more episode, but I will finish it. It'll be closer to the end of Big Brother.
But also, like this past weekend, I binged a lot of Devil Shot of Love. Only have four more episodes left, so I very much so anticipate that I will be caught up with the show to talk about that show next week. I am glad that I started watching it because the show is better. I think I should just push through after those four episodes. Those four episodes was like, it's just a shock. It wasn't what I was expecting. It's kind of, it was like a little bit of a party, and I was like, I don't know if I want to watch that. But after those shows, it's still a hot mess. Don't get me wrong, it's still a hot mess. It's very similar to, you know, the Pauly, the, you know, Jersey Shore brand. I'm like, oh my goodness, is that a new, the new generation? It's not even new generation, but you know, the 20s generation. How these people operate? Lord, 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 Lord. It was a mess. But it's been an interesting show too. Like, you see, so I am interested to see the rest of it and to get my little views and to do my little prayer for them at the end of next week. And then maybe I'll start watching Monday Fiance the other way as well, get back on that train. But I probably won't do that next week, probably the week afterwards. And I probably won't get caught up, so it's taking me a while to even catch up with Double Shot. But yeah, there is plenty of things to watch. Even though we have had a slowdown with filming due to Corona, there's plenty of stuff. So yeah, I look forward to talking to you all next week. Bye!